podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio. Hogan
Johns. We will be perfect in every aspect of the game.
Obsession. Being obsessed. Anything that you do, if there's an obsession with it, you realize that obsession. Good things come from that.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
Let loose and just have some fun as you go about winning.
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
Hot Route, Red 7, Hot Route.
Bring you Chicago's best Bears coverage.
There's a different vibe around the building.
Obsession.
Everyone's just coming to work every day excited.
Being obsessed.
And that's what it's all about.
And now,
what time is it?
Here they are.
Perfection.
Hogan Johns.
That is what it's all about. That's what we do every single week here. Come to work, there's excitement in the building, right? It's a new week, Adam Johns.
I'm not exactly dancing full of excitement, but yes, I'm excited to see you.
Well, that's pretty normal. When people see me, they're not really that excited. That's fine. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, at Adam Johns, J-A-H. And this has been an interesting week on the Twitter machine with the panic and the breakdown of the... of the Bears.
One could understand why Mitch Trubisky is going zero dark 10.
Zero dark 10.
One game, everybody.
Do you think one if game. We, by the way, this is episode 174 of the Hogan Johns podcast. If you think if we ask him, I am confused on days. He talks today, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
As we record this on Thursday morning, the extra day with us being a Monday nighter changes things. But we want to make sure you still have the pod on Thursday so you can listen to it throughout your weekend and stay on schedule. Do you think if he's asked about this mini controversy that reached all the way to the
Scott
Van Pelt Sports Center the other night with a screenshot of Trey Burton being wide open in the end zone, do you think he'll have any idea?
I'm sure he's been made aware because that's the job of the public relations department, media relations department. They should make him aware because it's going to be brought up. I'm almost certain it's going to be brought up how... he comes about answering that question. I think he goes zero dark 10.
Well, he could still break down the play.
Acknowledge.
Though.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I think that's the fair way to approach the question. I don't know if I'm going to be the one who's. There's going to be several people.
I want to hear what Nagy has to say about it, too, because he hasn't talked since.
I'm sure he's aware of it.
Sure. And I'm sure he'll actually give a decent answer.
Yeah.
Probably defend Trubisky, but.
Which is fair.
All right. The Twitter machine at Adam Hogue, at Adam Johns, at Joey Joe Rowe. That's with an R-O, right, Joe?
It sure is. Joey Joe Rowe.
I loved just last week the drop in at the, I can't remember what you said, Joe, but it was so funny when we went back and listened to the podcast. You were like, damn straight or something like that.
See, I got this friend named Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo.
That's the worst name I ever heard.
Hi, Joey Jojo!
Joe handles your voicemails, which we'll hear in a moment. I can't wait to hear them. The voicemail line was hot Sunday night.
Oh, it's going to be a swing of emotion there.
I know. I hope we get like 50 or like, we're going to the Super Bowl. And then the other half are like, okay, fire everybody.
What I didn't get was some fans saying they would rather have felt a blowout. I don't get that mentality. Yeah, I think that's a losing mentality.
Hang on to that thought, because that's something I want to start with here. Read us at WGNradio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com and search Hogan Johns on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, wherever you listen to your podcast, it's there. And the Hogan Johns podcast is brought to you by the Jerry Haggerty Chevrolet in Glen Ellen. For value and integrity, it has to be Haggerty. JerryHaggertyChevrolet.com. Go see them in Glen Ellen. And if you do, make sure you tell them that Hogan Johns sent you. The Jerry Haggerty Chevrolet Tahoe got us to Green Bay.
Yes, it did. Yes, it was a very comfortable ride.
How was the, you were in the back seat?
It was so comfortable that on the way back, I fell asleep.
You did.
You and Patrick Finley were just talking too much, and I just zoned out.
Yeah, well, Pat's a good friend and was trying to keep me awake as we drove through the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin.
Pat can do that.
2:30 in the morning.
Pat can gab.
It was
I had nothing to gab about.
It was one of the few times where I appreciated Pat talking his ass off. It was great. It was great. And, we're just dodging deer left and right.
There was that big deer. I was awake for that.
Big ass deer.
Yeah. Pat didn't see it, though. It was on his side, but he didn't see it. I saw it from the back.
And then Johnsy fell asleep in the very comfortable Jerry Haggerty.
Very smooth ride.
And we were like 30 minutes to our destination. All of a sudden, Pat goes, you know, I really like this car.
Says the guy who drives a Prius.
Yes. Well, we can upgrade it. We'll send them over to Jerry Haggerty Chevrolet and Glen Ellen and get them upgraded from that Prius.
Absolutely.
All right.
Your Tahoe would eat his Prius.
Real quick before we get to the voicemail lines, because I don't want to forget what you just said. Because I've been thinking about this a lot the last few days. As much as that loss sucked for the Bears, for the first time in a long time, we are sitting here breaking down a game that the Bears were in, almost won, should have won, and they have an opponent coming up here that they should beat.
But they're favored.
You know what I mean? Like, we're breaking down pretty decent football here. And let's just not lose sight. So what you just said there a couple of minutes ago of some fans being like, I would rather blown out than lost in that fashion. I sometimes get that. Mm-hmm. I sometimes understand that sentiment. But not here. Like, Bears fans should be very encouraged if you can zoom out. And I think we had a little bit of this perspective the other night at Lambeau as we recorded our podcast in the post-game aftermath.
Oh, it was a bad loss, an awful loss, yeah.
But, you know, as is natural, you brought up the carnival versus crisis thing.
I can't get John Fox out of my head, but
yeah, go on. I'm sorry about that. But, you know, you're 4 or 5 days removed from the game and you start to understand a little bit more big picture, like, you know, the Bears are better. They're better. It sucks that they're 0-1. It sucks they blew that game. But this is a better team. Now you just hope that the players understand that.
Well, I think they do. I think they know.
And get over it by Monday.
I think they know what they had. I think they know how, well, they feel like what you just said. That was a win to be had. And I get the having your hopes dashed. So I think that's what did fans in. Everybody was so ecstatic about the debut. First quarter was fantastic. Khalil Mack is kicking some butt. Mitch Trubisky is running in touchdowns. And then everything changes when Aaron Rodgers comes back. They were so close, and I get that. That close is for real this time. When you look back at the pass and they're getting their butts kicked 55-14, or Mike Glennon's throwing the ball away and turning it over 4 times in the first half, you knew how far they were. The Bears weren't only competitive in this game. They had a win against a healthy Aaron Rodgers, not a broken collarbone Aaron Rodgers.
Well, and even just comparing it to some of those games last year, you know, Bears were pretty competitive last year. Their record was bad in the end. But most of the games, they were competitive. They weren't getting blown out. But there's a difference. Like,
they got blown out at Lambeau, though.
Yeah, once Trubisky was a quarterback. I mean, they were in these games. But this had a different feeling. Because that last year was like, all right, they're hanging around. The Ravens played that terrible game in Baltimore. They took advantage and won, which you have to do. This was different, though. This was like, you know, they're kind of on the same playing field as the Packers here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is what I thought going into the game. I mean, I really did. It sucks because not only did you lose, but you also could have put the Packers at 0-1 with the Vikings up next. And Aaron Rodgers not 100%. Like, we're going to break that game down a little bit later, Vikings-Packers. But, you know, the Packers could have been 0-2. And now, worst case scenario, they're 1-1. They're hanging around. So it was a huge missed opportunity. Now you got to put it away. And understand, and as we'll do here momentarily, breaking down the Seahawks, this is a very winnable game Monday night.
Yeah, look, it's such a long season. People were like ready to give up on the entire year. People were ready to give up on Mitch Trubisky after his 13th start.
Yeah.
He hasn't had a full calendar season. He hasn't even reached 16 games yet. Mm-hmm. I get the angst. I get the anger. I get having your hopes dashed, but you still got 15 more of these left, everybody.
All right, well, speaking of the anger, let's get to our voicemail. 312-222-5050 is the voicemail line. Joe Romano put the voicemails together. Let's hear what you guys had to say.
Hello?
Do you know who this is?
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
The Hogan Johns voicemail. The Hogan Johns voicemail line.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
Got any questions or comments about the Bears? Give the guys a call before, after, or even during the game. 312-222-5050.
Go Bears!
Jeff calling from Colorado Springs, Colorado, an Illinois transplant. I was walking around doing some errands on Saturday, and I had wearing some Bears garb on me, and I had 4 separate Broncos fans approach me and thank me as a Bears fan for taking Mac out of the AFC West.
Jordan Rediker calling from Athens, Georgia. Just saw the first drive of the Bears. Is this my team? Is this my offense that they're running? Trubisky just ran it in. This is going to be a good year. Bear down.
TG from Tempe, Arizona. I'm not going to say this is the greatest show on turf, but it's the greatest show on grass at Lambeau right now. This is the best Bears offense we've ever had in the history of the organization. There's no stopping this train. It's Super Bowl, Super Bears. Get to know it, love it, learn it, tattoo it, all of it.
Alex from Southern California.
Super Bowl, Super Bears. Ow!
Thank you, Ryan Pace. I'd love you. I'd kiss you if I saw you right now.
Bear the f*** down. Woo!
Alex from Southern California. Guys, what the f*** happened?
Hey now, Chauncey from Columbus, Ohio, BearFan80 on Twitter. One of the best first halves ever from the Bears. Second half, total Bears debacle. Run the ball. Repeat, run the ball.
Andrew from Pittsburgh, what's new? A coach who's inept at play calling when it really matters. Kyle Fuller can't make the big, big play, and the Bears losing to the Packers. This is the worst.
Bill from Peoria, Illinois. On your little voicemail here, it says that you got to be funny or clever, which is exactly what Matt Nagy tried to be on every single third and one. If I ever have to see Deion Sims, a player who should have been cut before the regular season even started, trying to catch a ball 2 yards short of a 1 yard line. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Mike from LA. I'm disgusted after watching this Bears game. 16 points for this offensive guru head coach of ours. This game looked too eerily similar to the game against the Titans when he was the Chiefs offensive coordinator and they lost in the playoffs 22-21.
Max, I'm a longtime listener. I've listened to you guys in Africa, Europe. I currently live in Vietnam. That game started out so refreshing, so exciting. It felt like something new, and it ended just kind of familiar and painful.
Joe from Chicago.
Why? How? What is Aaron Rodgers, a T-1000 and something? Jesus Christ.
Oh, I gotta get that off my chest. Thanks, guys.
Pat from Wicker Park. Kyle Fuller, you really earned that extension tonight.
John from Fort Worth, Texas. I think it's the hardest loss I've ever had to endure. That is heartbreaking to give one away. I hope this defines the team the rest of the year, and I hope that they say, we never want this feeling again, and they go get it after this.
Mike, Chicago. I hate Aaron Rodgers.
Woo. We feel you, Bears fans.
Oh, yeah.
That was great job, Joel Romano. Great job with all our callers calling in. I mean, that right there told the story of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like a game story. Did you notice the transition from good to bad? It was the same dude.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
He's super pumped, and then he's just so down, which is basically all of us during the game.
Yeah. I mean, that's... I'll just go back to... Like the second to last voicemail there, which was like, this is the worst I felt after a game. That's because they were good for a while. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like all these tough losses they've had over the years. You're like, well, it's just frustrating because they're so bad and they don't, you know, they're.
Are you saying because they look so good at one point?
Right. I mean, yes. Part of the reason why this hurts so much is because they showed so much promise.
Against the Packers of all teams. I think that makes this a bit more special. I thought again about this game, when I was falling asleep in the back of your Tahoe later on.
Were you dreaming in the Tahoe?
When Aaron Rodgers came back at halftime and the standing ovation he got. Like, I already sensed the momentum shift.
Yeah, that's the first time I've ever seen the momentum shift on a non-play.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
That was just a guy running out of tunnel, and yes. You could feel it in the
There
building.
Was a standing ovation. Like, okay, this is for real. And I almost wonder if the Bears felt it at that moment, too. Like, okay, things are going to be a little bit tighter. We got the greatest quarterback going in the game right now. The greatest individual quarterback, I think, you know, look, in terms of accolades, you know what I'm getting at.
Well,
Tom Brady
at halftime,
has it, but
you're probably going over, all right, this is... Because you didn't prepare for Deshaun Kizer the whole week. Not that you really need to, but at halftime, you're probably talking about, okay, here's Deshaun Kizer. Here's how he's different. Here's what we need to attack in the second half with him out there.
Yes.
Oh, number 12 comes running out of the tunnel.
And everybody's standing and applauding.
So, there's a lot of things that went into this second half. We could break down for a whole week. It's now Thursday.
We've talked about it at length.
Yeah, but we do need to talk about Mitch Trubisky.
Okay.
Because there's been, I think, a lot of overreaction He didn't play great.
No.
Went back and watched the film multiple times over the last few days. The benefit of having that extra day even allowed us to spend a little bit more time than normal on the film. He missed some things. I thought he was... He called it happy feet after the game, confirmed on the film, bailed out too many times. Now, I also want to point out, though, his receivers need to do a better job of getting open. I was disappointed overall with all these weapons that's been talked about. Now, the Packers did a good job of dropping in those zone coverages and taking a lot of that away. But
did you see the outside guy, Josh Jackson, matched up against Trey Burton every now and then?
Yeah.
Nice matchup there. Trey Burton isn't exactly the size mismatch that a Rob Gronkowski or Adam Shaheen or even like to a lesser extent Deion Sims is. He's not a big tight end. Well, Josh Jackson can play ball.
One of the few things that clearly did get put on film in the preseason was that Trey Burton was going to be a big part of this offense. So that was one thing the Packers could easily go off of, specifically the Broncos game during the preseason. They had that on film. They attacked it. Trey Burton had a bad game. I mean,
I thought Allen Robinson had a good game. In terms of him coming back from his torn ACL, literally a full football calendar a year ago, I thought he was impressive.
I have one beef with Allen Robinson.
What's that?
Do you remember the play? The Bears were, let's see, it had to be in the third quarter because they were driving to our end where we were sitting. Mitch, they're close to the red zone or they're in the red zone close to it. He rolled out to the right, ended up throwing the ball away all the way across the field.
And
out of bounds.
Yes.
Did you watch Allen Robinson on that play?
Did he stop?
He quit.
Okay.
He quit the play. He was standing over by the Bears sideline, not moving. And that was disappointing because later in the game on a key drive, I think it was the second to last drive. Yeah, it was. There was a huge third down. Play broke down. Trubisky ran out to the right. Anthony Miller did not stop. He came back. He saw his quarterback scrambling. He came back to his quarterback, was open. Trubisky hit him. They converted a huge third down. So it's just one example, but in that, comparing those two plays, the rookie looked like the veteran looked like the rookie.
Right, right.
So I agree. Allen played well.
That's a good observation, though. I didn't notice that. Yeah.
Because if he was one-on-one over there. If he keeps running around, maybe Mitch is able to find him. Mm-hmm. It would have been tough, but whatever. You don't want your wide receiver quitting on a play.
Well, that's the glory of the Green Bay Packers. They never quit on Aaron Rodgers. They know exactly what to do right when he starts moving around. And that's really the secret to the success of Aaron Rodgers. I mean, maybe not so much a secret, but when he's moving, he's buying himself time. He's improvising.
Right.
That's when the damage is done. You saw that in the Randall Cobb play. Improvised play, Eddie Jackson came up. It wasn't even his guy, I believe. Got behind them and, you know, rest was history. Bad play, just an awful play.
So, look, Trubisky needs to be better. Anyway, the point I was getting to with the wide receivers is some of those scrambles, like, I think people have been generalizing a little bit too much this week. Ah, he's bailing out. He's running around too much. He needs to stay in the pocket. Yes, on some of those, that's true. There were a few of those plays, though, where nobody was open, and he made the play with his feet.
Yes.
And that was the only option he had. And I was watching that very closely as I was going back through the coach's film. So,
well, there's rules that players should stick to with that. The receivers, the scramble rules,
yeah,
and how you're supposed to come back to the receiver. Sometimes you go, look, I get that you have a brand new receiving core, and this was the first time they've all played together with Mitch Trubisky, all of them together at the same time with Mitch Trubisky, and I understand that there's going to be some growing pains with that, but there are specific scramble rules that all teams have when your quarterback is on the run like that, and clearly, with your observation with Allen Robinson, they did not stick to them.
All right, now before we move on to the Seahawks, we teased this earlier, so we have to talk about it, but this mini controversy with a screenshot that was put out by Dan Durkin from The Athletic, with Trey Burton, this was the second drive of the game. It was the play after Mitch missed Allen Robinson in the back corner of the end zone. That should have been a touchdown. That ball's got to be better. He had a step. That's a fade. That's something Aaron Rodgers hits that throw 8 times out of 10.
I thought almost.
Maybe 9 times.
Do you think it stuck with him for a play?
Maybe.
That's a fair question.
It was a bad ball. Who was it that brought up the, man, I've listened to so many things. Someone compared it to like you brought the wrong club out of the bag.
Oh, that's a good comparison. Maybe Matt Nagy said that. Yeah,
somebody said that. Where it was like,
I believe it was Matt Nagy.
You need a little bit more loft, Yes, right, right. Yes. You went with the 7-iron and you should have been with the 9. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it was the wrong throw on a play that was there.
Right. He seemed to hitch a little bit. The rhythm, Dave Ragone, the quarterback's coach, thought the rhythm of the play for Trubisky was a bit off.
You know, just more general, the whole game, he looked just slightly uncomfortable. You know, like the mechanics just weren't all there. Things were moving fast for him. I want the game to slow down. This is the one thing I'll go back to. All these criticisms, whether they're fair or unfair this week, everything goes back to inexperience, which was, you know, I go back to my evaluation of Trubisky coming out of North Carolina. I had him as a first-round pick. He was my number one quarterback in that class. I also said I wouldn't draft him with a third overall pick because the inexperience bothered me. Like, I think he could be good, but he's going to need time. And so that's
all quarterbacks.
Just keep that in perspective. Yeah. Like, he's still developing here. It just because he had one off game does not mean that this isn't going to click for him.
Yeah. Well, everybody wants instantaneous success with their quarterbacks now, and it just doesn't happen. Even the ones that do have instantaneous success. Dak Prescott, the most glaring recent example.
Sure.
What happened there? It's not the same quarterback. Doesn't have the same pieces around him. Not the same offensive line.
2 years ago, I would have told you Derek Carr, who was also one of my former number one quarterbacks. Yeah. I would have said he's going to be an absolute superstar. Yeah. I mean, and then he started to regress.
Everybody was singing Jimmy Garoppolo's praises last year, but he still threw a lot of interceptions, and those interception problems came over to this year.
Yeah.
Marcus Mariota has fluctuated. Jameis Winston. He's not even playing ball right now.
Yeah.
So people need to be patient a bit.
Aaron Rodgers even had some issues his first couple of years.
Aaron Rodgers didn't start to his fourth year.
Well, that's for different reasons.
Yeah, but I get that. But he still had 3 years to learn, watch film, to have more preseason experience, to go through things.
All right, so the play after the Allen Robinson miss, they run a screen. It looked like it was designed to Cohen.
It was definitely designed to Cohen.
With a backside option to Taylor Gabriel if the defense over-pursued that way. Now, I'm pretty confident Cohen was the first read. In fact, I'm very confident because he looked that way
first. He looked that way first, and he literally pumped at him until he realized that Kevin White cannot block two guys. Actually, did not block any of the guys.
Yeah. And by the way, the Packers did a good job of that the whole game against the Bears screens. Oh, yeah. I mean, they had to figure it out. And Nagy went to it too many times, and he admitted that on Monday. Meanwhile, with them playing, overloading that side, and actually having the backside cover too, someone was going to be open, and from the snap, Trey Burton sure looked like was open. Now, maybe a more veteran quarterback recognizes that at the snap and just bails on his first read and realizes he has a touchdown. Maybe. I don't know. What happened here, though, is part of the action behind the play was a fake handoff on the sweep.
Mm-hmm.
So Trubisky's back is to the play because he's fake handing the ball off behind him. Then his first read's to the right. So you just got to picture his head turning around as he's got his back to the play. Now he turns over to the right. The first thing he's going to see is Cohen, which is his first read.
First thing he probably saw was Clay Matthews in his face.
Sure.
So he stopped his rush and ran to the, I guess, let's call it the flat.
So, yeah, from the start, if Burton's the first read and Trubisky sees that, he maybe doesn't even fake the handoff. He maybe just hits Burton for a touchdown, for all I know. It sure looks like he's open. So this screen grab gets put on Twitter, and it's the moment Trubisky moves to a second read, which is Burton.
Hmm.
And he sees him. And it looks terrible in a screen grab.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like he's standing wide open with his hands up, and it just looks bad. But it doesn't show the whole context of the play. And maybe if Trubisky, at that very moment he sees him, fires the ball in there, it's a touchdown. Maybe.
And look, in that screen gap, it makes it look like it's like a 15-yard throw. It's like a 30-yard throw.
Yeah, it's longer than it looks.
Yes.
And instead of ripping it in the right away, Trubisky glances over to the safety to make sure that there's room to throw it. And by the time he does that, the window closes because Ha-Ha Clinton Dix was running full speed.
It's a good safety.
True. He's good. And Kevin King even retweeted, Kevin King, the Packers corner, retweeted this and basically ripped it because he's like, we saw this in the film room. Ha ha, Clinton Dix would have picked that off for sure.
Yes. I think it all goes back to what he first saw. He was ready to throw that ball to Cohen, But the Packers had numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you look at that play beyond Cohen, when he hitches and he's got that ball geared up to throw and he brings it back, I think he sees beyond Matthews, who is impeding the actual view to Cohen, that there are two defenders beyond Cohen. Right, Allen Robinson's locked up with one. Kevin White has moved on from his first block, so there are two defenders right beyond Cohen. So that play is stuffed. Maybe Tariq Cohen makes something miraculous out of it, but that play is stuffed. Right. He was ready to throw that ball. Comes in. There's Burton. Look, it looks awful. I get it. Maybe if he has more experience, he realizes it. Realizes what happens. But there's a lot of moving pieces
right
on that side of the field, just in terms of his first read and Tariq Cohen. In terms of where the Packers have numbers, you have guys being blocked and unblocked really fast.
And again, I go back to the play action behind the play. That takes him out of seeing that Burton was open from the jump. And that's not Trubisky's fault. That's just the play design.
Yes.
Okay, so there's no way he's going to even see Trey until he gets to his second read.
Right.
And at that moment, he decides to be a little careful and double check that safety's not going to be there. And by the time he does that, that window's closed. I'm not going to fault Mitch for that. That's actually something you want to see from a quarterback who's making his 13th ever start, because you don't want him to start gunning balls in there when they're not really there. You want him to see the linebackers. You want him to see the safeties that are closing in. So anyway,
I think what you want him to do, because I don't want to make it like we're completely defending the play, because Trey Burton was open.
Sure.
He's going to get there faster. But that speaks to his inexperience and actually the just the way the play unfolded and how the Packers defended it. Like, even some experienced quarterbacks would have, heck, maybe gone straight to Cohen and seen that play get stuffed.
Right.
So I thought he read the first read actually correctly, but maybe he's got to swing back to the second right away. But look, that's going to come with an experience. That was his first game in a new offense running that play specifically. People don't realize that.
First time doing any. I mean, yeah, it's not only his 13th ever start, it's a completely new offense.
Yes.
Hostile environment, Sunday Night Football, players that he really hasn't gotten that many game reps with. Which we talked about at the time. Well, we defended not playing in the third preseason game. We said, I mean, the downside of this is there. Nobody's denying that. There could be some chemistry issues. And I think at times that did show up. All right.
We're being too rational, Adam.
I know.
Absolutely too rational.
That's it. That
should be, hot take world.
That should be the like the slogan of this podcast.
Too rational.
Too rational. Anyway.
Probably not.
It all comes down to inexperience. That doesn't mean it's ever going to click for Trubisky. But those saying that it's never going to click because of what they've seen so far, that is just jumping.
I wonder if those people could point to when Drew Brees became a Pro Bowl quarterback. Do you know?
I don't know.
Remember, he had issues early on in his career, reading the field, getting things set for San Diego. It took him, I think, his third or fourth year before he made his first Pro Bowl.
A lot of people forget he even played for San Diego.
Yes.
Because he didn't really take off until he got to the Saints. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they never would have gotten rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Quarterbacks have different evolutions. It took Tom Brady a Drew Bledsoe injury to really see the field. People forget that as well.
Sure. All right. Let's move on. We don't really have much news from the week because they're
relatively clean.
Injury-wise, little nervous about Akeem Hicks' knee still.
Did you see him yesterday after his workout, though?
Well, that dude's
fully lathered.
Yeah, that
guy's a big guy, though. I'm sure he sweats a lot.
And he plays through everything.
Yes.
But, well, here, because that gets to one of my big questions for this game. Seahawks come to town, Monday Night Football, Soldier Field. The Bears are a 3.5-point favorite. 7:15 Monday night on ESPN. This line started at 3. It's now 3.5 in favor of the Bears. I thought when it came out at 3, that sounded right. I'm not surprised the Bears are, you know, picked up an extra half point here. The Seahawks aren't great. I thought that last week.
Oh, they're my Giants this year. I've been very critical for a couple weeks now.
I believe the Broncos got 8 sacks on Russell Wilson. Von Miller was a beast just as much as Khalil Mack was the other night. I mean, the Bears' defensive line and edge rushers, they got to be licking their chops looking at what happened. And I just got through the rest of the film this morning on that game, the Seahawks and Broncos. There should be opportunities to feast on the Seahawks offensive line. It is bad.
I was listening to or reading, I forget where I picked up the information, but just in terms of how they single blocked Von Miller. What's his name? Jermaine Ifadi? Is that right?
Yes, Ifadi.
Former first-round pick who was not exactly panned out as planned. But look, they've had protection problems for years. I mean, Russell Wilson is kind of... Look, he can make some miraculous plays out of nothing, but he's got... Isn't Doug Baldwin injured now?
Yes, he got hurt.
Yes, so don't expect him to play this week. Obviously, they have their pass rush protections, and everybody needs to realize that that defense is not the same.
No.
Not even close. They got, what, three returning starters from their Super Bowl team?
Yeah, Cam Chancellor's out right now.
Earl Thomas came back, but he didn't play the entire preseason because of his contract dispute. The two linebackers are good.
And Shaq Griffin's a great story, the rookie who's missing a hand, and everyone was excited about him starting. He played bad the other day. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a good game. Jermaine Ifedi is the right tackle. Khalil Mack rushed from that side of the field every single time the other night. Here's what the Packers did to adjust in the second half. And here's why I don't know that the Seahawks are going to be able to do this. But David Bakhtiari, the Packers left tackle, is a pretty damn good player.
Yeah.
So Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack were lined up on the right side of the Packers offensive line, trying to expose that side. And I'm forgetting the name of their right guard right now. That guy played terrible. I mean, Keem Hicks was just eating that dude alive.
Made a couple holding penalties in the first quarter, right?
Hicks was, in fact, I have an unpopular opinion. I think Akeem Hicks was even more dominant than Khalil Mack in that first half. If you really go back and watch the tape, Mack made the splash plays. He got the sick fumble, ripped it right out of the arms, and then he ends up getting the interception pick six. Those were amazing plays. Those are impact, high-level plays that the Bears don't get enough, like Kyle Fuller dropping the interception at the end of the game. But if you just look at dominance on the line of scrimmage, as good as Khalil Mack was, Keem Hicks out there beating double teams.
Triple teams.
When Mack wasn't on the field, a triple team when Mack wasn't on the field. He was incredible.
Did you slow down his sack strip fumble, the one that they recovered?
Yes.
Where he got underneath both arms of the block. Justin Taylor? I forget his name. We don't have the score sheet
McCray.
Here. Justin McCray. Yeah. So he got underneath both arms and literally pushed up both and drove the guy back.
Yeah.
Drove the guy back right into Aaron Rodgers, gets a strip sack. Obviously, they recovered it. I think their center recovered it, Lindsley. But yeah, an impressive performance. And I get the concerns about his durability because he plays so much. You need him so much. I mean, you know Eddie Goldman? The guy with the new big contract only played 22 snaps in that game. And I get that's packages and whatnot, and like Roy Roberts and Harris, but you think you'd want a little bit more out of that new guy.
A reasoning for that, though, he's so important against the run, the Packers don't have a running game.
The Packers don't ever...
But I think that's why... I think he'll play more against teams that are...
But Eddie Goldman still has some pass rush ability. And you need to spell Akeem Hicks every now and then.
Yeah, I would have maybe given Hicks a little bit more of a blow there in the second half. And Justin McCray is that right guard that we're referring to. So anyway, here's what the Packers did. They were sliding extra protection. There's a couple plays where they literally have four offensive linemen going to the right and Bakhtiari one-on-one, just leaving Floyd. Him on an island on the other side, whether it was Roy Robertson, Harris, or Leonard Floyd rushing from that side. And Bakhtiari is good. He won the battle in the second half on that side, those one-on-one battles. So Leonard Floyd needs to be better. Roy Robertson Harris, who I thought actually had a nice game, but in those situations, one-on-one, got to create a little bit more pressure. I don't know that the Seahawks, I mean, Dwayne Brown's their left tackle.
He's been playing forever.
I don't think that he's as good as David Bakhtiari, though, at this point. Okay. There's opportunities. The rest of this line is just...
Well, they've had pass rush problems for years. Even when they were good, they had problems protecting Russell Wilson. It's a big week for the Bears defense.
Yeah, here's my big question for this game as we get into it. Can the pass rush be maintained for the whole game? Not just a half. Get after this for the whole game. And even if that means dialing down a little bit in the first half, you know, you got to come through the whole game.
I'm shaking my head at you.
What?
You're not going to dial it down.
Well, I'm talking about a conditioning standpoint.
Okay, you just attack. You attack. I get your point.
How'd that work the other night? They were dead.
It was also, like you said, the Packers adjusted, and those throws were coming off fast. If that's the case, get your hands up, fellas. Get your hands up.
Well, especially against Russell Wilson.
Yes.
That's another key in this game. If you're not going to get home, put your hands up.
Right. So my big question, I'm going to stay away from the offensive side as well. I want to see how the secondary responds. Russell Wilson can buy himself some time. They need to plaster these guys they're covering. They need to be better. Those two cornerbacks, they got big deals. They need to be better. Now, they're not facing Aaron Rodgers, but Russell Wilson's still pretty good. They're not facing a Davante Adams. They got, I forgot to talk about this guy.
Brandon Marshall.
He can still play.
He's their best wide receiver.
He's not what he was when he was with the Bears or even relatively recently. Where was he with the Giants? He's not the same player.
No, he's not at all.
But you know he's going to want to play well in this game.
And he had a good game the other day against the Broncos.
Well, I don't think the Broncos are very good either. But I want to see how they respond. Specifically, your cornerbacks, you know, everybody involved. Because I don't think it was a good game last week whatsoever for the Bears secondary.
Well, and you know that the Seahawks are going to look at the tape, see the success that Aaron Rodgers had getting rid of the ball quickly. Wilson has to get rid of the ball quickly anyway because his offensive line is garbage. They're going to be trying that a lot. So the secondary needs to respond. They'll be playing tighter coverage, maybe drop into some zone a little bit more, see if you can get some linebackers to pick. Russell Wilson threw some, and that tape was hard to watch. Both of those quarterbacks.
The thing that's always bothered me about Russell Wilson is a lot of his success, not only is it improvised, but his receivers make some miraculous catches for him. You know what I'm talking about?
And they're not the same group right now.
But he'll throw it up. He'll scramble all over the place, just throw the ball up. Doug Baldwin comes out with it, and all of a sudden he's got like a 55-yard gain, maybe a touchdown. I feel like that's such a frequent highlight for the Seahawks with Russell Wilson.
Well, and that's basically what happened to the Bears the other night with Rodgers. I mean, you got to make those plays. If you're the Bears secondary, you got to make those plays in this game.
Yes.
There's going to be opportunities to get interceptions. What I was getting at, Case Keenum was also terrible for the Broncos in that game.
We saw that coming, man.
Bad throws. What? Both
a lot guys. Of bad quarterback play the first week. A lot of bad quarterback play.
All right.
Bold predictions.
What do you got this week?
I got a sneeze coming.
Oh, my God. You always do this.
I'm holding it. You have cats in your house. I'm allergic to cats.
Okay.
It's eventually going to get to
They're me. Not in here right now.
Still, I can feel their presence.
Wait, was that the recording or did you actually just sneeze?
No, that was the recording.
I can never tell.
That's a mad sneeze right there.
How can you sneeze and talk at the same time? Was that the recording again?
Talent. Multitasking.
Yes.
What are we talking about? Where are we at?
Bold predictions.
Mitch Trubisky has 4 touchdowns.
Okay, so you went with 3 last week. That didn't work. Now you're going with 4.
I don't think the Seahawks are very good. You know, maybe I'll shift gears. I think Jordan Howard rushes for over 125 yards and scores a touchdown. Is that bold? I think that's bold for what?
125 yards and a touchdown?
Yes.
He's got to get the ball more.
That's what I mean.
I mean,
so
he averaged 5.5 yards per carry.
So there's the bold factor.
Okay.
Will it happen? 125 yards for Jordan Howard and a touchdown. I think Trubisky has a good game, though. I'm convinced.
You think he bounces back?
Yes. Everybody's waiting for, like, the game where you feel just great about what he could be. I think it happens in the next couple weeks.
All right. I think that the defense picks off 2 Russell Wilson passes.
Ooh.
I think they get 2 interceptions in this
game. Can we get names?
No.
One name?
Eddie Jackson.
Okay. I got one for you.
I got one, too. Actually, maybe this should just be my bold prediction. I think Roquan Smith gets an interception.
Ooh, I was going to say a linebacker. I was going to say Danny Trevathan.
Okay. I do think linebackers, because just watching the way the Seahawks were vulnerable the other day, I think it's going to be important for those guys to drop back into some zone coverages with them getting rid of the ball so quickly. And, yeah, you get in the passing lane, one of those linebackers is going to get a pick. And the reason why I said Roquan is because I think he plays a lot more in this game.
I think he has to.
I think he might even start. Did you realize that Kwiatkowski basically got benched?
Oh, late in the game for those?
They went to Roquan. So it was that long, long pass play to Davante Adams. And he, not the one that scored a touchdown, but the one that got him down
there. Oh, the 55-yarder?
Yeah. Roquan Smith came running on the field, the play was still going on, and Roquan Smith was running on the field because some coach over there was like, all right, you're in.
Yeah. Well, Kwiatkowski had struggles in coverage literally all game. What stood out to me, so later in that game where it's the drive, the possession, where the Randall Cobb touchdown happens on third down of all downs, right? So those first two downs, Roquan Smith was in, and he came out because Marcus Cooper came in for a dime package. But I agree with you, especially against Russell Wilson. You need speed on that field. You need another level of speed on that field, like your second level. You need Danny Trevathan and Roquan Smith to help corral a Russell Wilson when he starts to break down. When things start to break down, he wants to improvise. You need that speed on the field. And I do think the Bears still like them some Nick Kwiatkowski, but you need Roquan Smith's speed, his elite athleticism and his instincts in a game like this. They need to respond, and Roquan Smith can help them respond.
Yeah, I think Roquan is part of this thing going forward now.
Predictions.
What do you got?
I got the Bears winning. Score-wise, I think the offense clicks a little bit more than it did last week. I mean, hell, they only scored one touchdown. So that's not saying too much. Let's say 24-17.
Oh, same here.
Okay.
I was thinking 24-20, but since I had 24-17, and you agree? I don't know, is this good or bad? It's good.
Yeah, it might be bad.
Okay.
It might be bad. They should win. They should cover this game, too. They're better than the Seahawks.
They are better than the Seahawks.
I really do believe they're better than the Seahawks. So, and you're at home. You need to respond. You can't lose this game. You can't go 0-2. It's just, I don't mean to say like this is a must-win in week two, but it really kind of is.
Well, you need to get a really bad taste out of your mouth. And look, I've said it when we did our last podcast, a couple of podcasts, I've written this. They could win. They could lose against the Packers and win their next three games.
Mm-hmm.
Very winnable ball games. And we're starting to see how other teams are starting to play out. So you get maybe some more winnable ball games developing down the line, too. We'll get to other teams as we discuss our picks. But, yeah, I'm with you. I'm picking the Bears 24-17. Yeah. I'll say 24-20.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. All right. We got to get to our listener prop bets. Last week was fun. A little bit of controversy. The prop bet was, and again, these come from our listeners. The prop bet we went with last week was how many times they mentioned Danica Patrick on the broadcast being a Bears fan. Now, there was a little bit of controversy because the number was at 1.5, and I believed, I mean, we don't watch the broadcast. Joe, you do, so maybe you have the official total, but people were saying that they showed her multiple times, but they never actually mentioned that she was a Bears fan.
Yeah, I didn't hear it, and maybe it happened while I wasn't paying as close attention to it, and I was too scared to rewatch it because I didn't want to cry again. So, yeah, we're just going to say that was under. Not that that has anything to do with me being right or anything, but yeah, it was an under.
What we're debating over whether seeing is one thing and saying that she's a Bears fan is the other.
Well, that's what the bet was. Okay. It wasn't showing her on screen. It was mentioning that she's a Bears fan.
Okay.
So it definitely came under. It came under.
What do we got this week?
That's what it was. This one is from at Alex MD Maldonado. Amount of times the announcers say something about Aaron Rodgers, even though he's not on either team.
That's a good one.
The number is 5.5.
Ooh, that's a high number, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to say over.
Over, okay.
Because it's just, they just got to mention his name, right?
Well, and you got to imagine they're going to show some of the highlights.
They're going to say his name like 8 or 9 times in the intro, I think. Aaron Rodgers this, Aaron Rodgers that. Even like they'll play former, like old highlights, and you'll hear Chris Collinsworth say, Aaron Rodgers.
I'm going to say under. That's a lot.
No.
I think it's 3 or 4 times, but I don't think it's that many.
I'm going over.
Joe, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's under too. Joe Tessitore and Jason Witten, Booger McFarland. I think they get it done early. They get it out of their system. 5.5. Maybe that number was set too high. I'll take the under.
Yeah, it's a little bit high. By the way, the Joe Tessitore is great. And I realize a lot of NFL people don't know who he is because they probably don't watch college football. But Joe Tessitore has been doing an unbelievable job calling college football games for a long time now. The Twitter mob mentality that keeps... Were you guys paying attention to this during the Monday night game the other day?
A lot of people didn't like him.
A lot of people were just like killing the broadcast team. Now, I'm not sold on Jason Witten yet, but I'm going to give him more than one game. And Booger McFarland's pretty good too. But Tessitore is great. Everyone needs to chill out. So I imagine that the same thing is going to happen this week. All these fans are hearing him for the first time. They're going to be like, ah, this announcing crew sucks. Settle down. It's a huge upgrade over Sean McDonough and John Gruden from last year. Huge upgrade.
Yeah, they didn't mesh.
No
well.
Comment. Right. You feel better?
Yeah, I guess. Let's do just a couple more because these are fun. At Moe Jungo.
Ooh.
How many times Charles Leno goes out wide? 1.5.
Oh, under.
I'm going to say under, too. Didn't he only do it twice?
Yeah.
The other day?
I don't think they're going to do it all.
Yeah, they'd probably use that one up.
I'm taking the over. They're setting something up for a big screen pass late in the year when the Packers come back. So you got to set it up. Set it up three times.
To Leno?
Oh, yeah. It's going to Leno. When Green Bay comes to Chicago, that's when it's going to happen. But you have to like put it on tape. Not the play to Leno. You don't want to give that away. But you keep running the formation out there 2-3 times a week. Yeah, I'm taking the over.
Well, the Seahawks do have to prepare for it this week. So it helps you. Even if they spend a little bit of time on it, that's a little bit of time on that instead of something else. All right. And then one more. At John A. Hansen, Kevin White targets 0.5.
I feel bad for even laughing. But under. What did he play last week? Like 4 or 5 snaps?
Yeah. I'm going to say over because I think they'll have something designed for him this week. Just because it was kind of hidden last week, he barely played.
Oh, now they'll unveil their Kevin White screens.
Yeah, that should have been the over under. How many screens they run?
They ran a lot.
That was a little disappointing. So all this talk about, it's kind of like what happened in training camp. All that talk about how physical they were going to be. It looked like the same training camp I've watched for years.
Under. Yeah. He's not even going to be active.
Ooh.
Javon Wims time? Javon Wims was wearing these giant slippers in the locker room yesterday. Did you see those?
I did. He was playing basketball in giant slippers.
They look like space boots. Should have went in for a closer look, but they were playing
basketball.
You should
have asked him what they were. Maybe they were like Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, they did look like something like that. Yeah, could be Javon Wims time.
All right, let's get to some other picks here. Bears win. We agree. We agree. We were wrong last week, though. We both said they were going to win. Sure looked like we were going to be right for 90% of the game. All right, well, that team up north that beat the Bears, they have another home game. They play the Vikings. Aaron Rodgers, probably you're going to think, going to play somehow. But the Packers, I'm surprised by this line. Packers are a 1-point favorite.
Well, there's probably some uncertainty over Aaron Rodgers.
Right, but I'm saying the Vikings should be favored even if Aaron Rodgers.
You think so?
Are you kidding me? The Vikings are so much better.
Did you pick the Bears last year twice against the Vikings?
That was before the season started. Oh, okay. That was my bold prediction for the season.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That was
so
not...
make sure we save that and like keep that in mind.
Yeah, okay. Well, when the game got around, that's not what the prediction was. All right. Don't you think the Vikings are a much better team here?
Yeah, they're probably the more complete team, but give me Aaron Rodgers over Kirk Cousins. I'm a big Kirk Cousins fan.
Yeah.
I think he's a pretty darn good quarterback. But Aaron Rodgers, look, he was determined to... I felt like so much of that game against the Bears was him just making a statement like, easy, everybody. Take it easy, Bears fans. This SOB is still here.
Yeah.
Relax. I think divisional games are very important to Aaron Rodgers. I think he's going to play well in this one. Give me the Packers.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Vikings because even though they won comfortably against the 49ers last week, they could have won by more. Like, they had some things they could still work on from that game. I just think there's...
Wait, are you saying that teams actually aren't perfect and that missed throws are made?
That's what I'm saying, although Kirk Cousins was really good in that game. Yeah, I'm going to take the Vikings here. Joel?
Yeah, this number is not available in most places as they wait to see what Rodgers' availability is, but... if you're going to give me points, I am running to the window. I'm taking the Vikings to win outright. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to take the Vikings in this game, whether Rodgers plays or not.
Yeah, and this started at the opening line was 2.5. You're right that a lot of places don't have it available right now. But the places that do, I mean, it's pretty much 1. I don't know. This line's all over. So, anyway, the one we're going off of is Packers favored by 1, and I'm taking the Vikings there. All right.
No.
Lions. Boy, was that a crap fest.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
They're a disaster. Do you remember those reports like in the summer that were already questioning Matt Patricia's coaching style and his ability to connect with that team and the locker room kind of being shaky?
I'll tell you what, you know, Bill Simmons, who's like Mr. Patriot.
Yeah.
Very negative outlook on Patricia working out in line. And I kind of, those are the times where like I actually trust a biased voice.
Yeah.
Because like he has a much better idea of how Patricia's going to be a coach than I do. And he, I was listening to his podcast, and he's like, yeah, this isn't going to work out. Yeah. And this was before first game. This was his season preview like a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that was appalling. They quit. They absolutely quit. And the Jets aren't even that good. I get everybody's going crazy over Sam Darnold, but the Lions may be horse poop.
Yeah.
Complete horse poop.
By the way, actual little bit of news here on Aaron Rodgers. Not practicing again today. Packers head coach Mike McCarthy said that it could make for...
Oh, a game time decision.
He said, this is, quote, this is no layup of his quarterback decision. I don't know. I bet he plays.
Gamemanship. Still taking the Packers. 49ers. I'm not sold on 49ers either, by the way.
Nope.
But they're home.
This is a lot.
Yeah. You know, I'm taking the 49ers. I think the Lions may be horse poop.
Horse poop. Okay. You know what? I'm going to take the 49ers here. This is a lot of points. I think there's some correction by the Lions this week. And I think the 49ers win, but the Lions cover.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable laying the six either, but there's really no reason to back the Lions until they give you a reason to. I talked about it last week on the podcast. Patricia just, you know, I don't see the Lions having a great season. And 49ers home opener. Six is a big number, but I guess I'll lay it.
All right. We move on.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
The Cardinals, the Bears' next opponent, go...
Oh, but I have points here.
Yeah, and actually, I'm looking at some updates. It's actually up to 13 in a lot of places. The Cardinals go to Los Angeles, where the Rams, we'll go with 12.5 because that's where I put this at for you guys to analyze. So 12.5, Rams favorite here at home. They put on a huge second half, beat the Raiders comfortably.
Yep.
Which I told you, that line was messed up. I felt so good about that. The Rams only being favored by 4 in Oakland the other night. Now 12.5 is a big difference. 3:05 game Sunday on Fox.
All first-year coaches? You count John Gruden as a first-year coach? All new coaches, new teams. Didn't win.
0-7.
0-7. 0-7. Only one to cover the spread. Who?
The Bears.
The Bears.
Lock that one up. I told you.
Anyway, I don't like the spread.
Well, that's a lot.
The Cardinals are a bad team, though. Can we make that clear?
Yeah.
I'm actually regretting selecting David Johnson in my league.
Ooh.
Yes. Yes, I should have drafted Christian McCaffrey, but I had the number 3 pick, and I was scared. Ooh,
that's high for Christian McCaffrey.
He's going to have a better year than David Johnson, I think.
The Cardinals lost the teams to the Redskins 24-6 at home last week.
Yeah. Josh Rosen, would you start him? Have they started that clock yet? Have they considered starting that clock yet?
Anyway, there's no need to rush them, though, if they're going to be bad anyway.
Yeah, that's a fair point. So in that case, give me the Rams. I think the Rams are a good team. That defense is going to destroy Sam Bradford, setting up the Mike Glennon appearance next week against the Bears.
Yeah, I don't feel good about this one. That'd be something.
Historic.
Mike Glennon versus Mitch Trubisky. I don't feel great about this one. That's a lot of points.
Just pick them.
Again, I think there's some correction with the Cardinals, but I think the Rams are too good and ultimately win this. Just kind of a front door cover, fourth quarter score, and they cover the spread. Joe?
Yeah, Johnsy hit the points that I wanted to as well. David Johnson needs to get the ball more. 14 touches, even in your first game back, you know, it was a wrist injury. He's your best player. Give him the ball. Rams are legit. I think they can definitely cover a 12-13 point spread. It's just a matter of keeping them focused throughout the entire game and throughout the season, for that matter. I take the Rams to cover.
Yeah, man. Who wants to get tackled?
The Patriots got a rematch here of the AFC Championship game, but it's being played in Jacksonville. Patriots go down to Florida. Jaguars are a 2-point home dog here. Only two, though. 3:25 Sunday on CBS.
Jalen Ramsey's trash talk.
Yeah.
The storyline here.
Gronk admitted it's motivating him.
Yes. Danny Amendola probably feels the same. I always feel like when people disparage the Patriots, they end up regretting it. And I don't think Jalen Ramsey speaks for all his teammates. I like the bravado. I like the brashness because you need it at cornerback. I don't mind it. I don't think he speaks for everybody. And look, I feel like there's a track record of teams getting burned by the Patriots after talking some smack. Like the Jets, remember the Jets and like the Rex Ryan group?
Yeah.
Like, and they had some success against them. Ooh. Who are rated. But we know how those things always turn out. Give me the Patriots. Even I might even lock this up. Hit that button, my friend.
Wow.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
I agree with you. I'm not going to lock it up, but it just don't go against the Patriots in this situation. Now, there is some motivation from the Jaguars to get revenge in the AFC Championship game here, too. Let's not. And they do get them in their own building, but I can't go against New England here. Joe?
You know, I was pretty high on the Giants. You know, Saquon Barkley is actually a guy that I drafted over David Johnson. And I know the Jaguars had already cemented themselves as being one of the best defenses in the league. But last week, they really showed something. You know, kept Odell Beckham somewhat contained, besides the long run to Saquon Barkley, kept him contained. I think that defense is a great matchup for the Patriots. They showed that last year in the AFC Championship game. Home dogs are barking here. I'm going to take the Jags.
Ooh, okay. Jaguars. We move on to the Sunday nighter.
All right, let's continue this love fest.
The Giants go to Dallas. Cowboys, 3-point home favorite, 7:20 Sunday on NBC. I like the Giants here. I don't think the Cowboys are that good. The Cowboys' offense didn't look that good last week. Dak is just not...
They're not good. The Cowboys aren't good.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Giants are very good, but I still take
the
Eli.
Giants, I think the Jaguars are good, and they played the Jags pretty tough last week. Mm-hmm. So I just think they're the better team here. They're getting 3 points. So you know what? Give me the Giants.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
I saw one of the Twitter film and analysts, because there seems to be so many of them nowadays, and one of them was breaking down the Odell Beckham's first game last week, and he was wide open all the time, and Eli Manning just overthrew him mm-hmm. consistently. I think that changes a bit this week. Give me the Giants.
Joe?
Yeah, I'm with you, Hoag. You can lock this one up. I think the Giants go into Dallas Cowboys Stadium and just, you know, they win outright for sure. I don't see who Dak can throw the ball to. You know, the box is loaded. Zeke can only do so much. The defense is good. You know, Lawrence Marshall can get after the quarterback, but the Cowboys just have no weapons for anybody to respect on the outside. No Jason Witten, no Dez Bryant. I take the Giants here.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
I feel like the Giants have a winning streak in Dallas, too. Like, haven't they won there the last couple years, or am I just making that up?
No idea.
It just feels that way. Anyway, and Saquon Barkley, he's the real deal. All right, we move on to the college games. Johns can't wait. We'll get through these pretty quickly here. We'll start 1:30 Saturday on NBC. Wanted to get at least one semi-local game in here. Vanderbilt goes to Notre Dame. Notre Dame, a 14-point favorite. Didn't come close to covering against Ball State last week. Brandon Wimbush did not look that great.
Brandon Wimbush stinks.
He might stink. I think it's, again, a lot of points. Vandy's a decent team. They're not great. I just think this is too many points to give Notre Dame. They're just, I don't know. I'm taking Vandy.
I like Vanderbilt, too. They're not going to win. Brandon Wimbush should still be a winner in this week. I think Notre Dame could be a very good team, but they got to figure out the quarterback situation. I don't think they have any other answers.
Mm-hmm.
But how some of these major programs still struggle at quarterback. You know, we just talked about Michigan last week. It still baffles me. Really, really baffles me.
Joe?
Yeah, I don't know anything about Vandy, so you're going to have to take this with a grain of salt. I would think
your research.
Hey, come on, man. I would think that this is an accordion effect that the Irish played well in week one, kind of got showed up a little bit last week, and they come out guns blazing again this week and cover a 2-touchdown spread.
Fair enough. That could happen. I mean, Notre Dame is definitely the better team. All right, 2:30 Saturday at CBS. This is your SEC game of the week. Number 12, LSU. At number 7, Auburn. Both of these teams had good week one wins, very impressive week one wins. LSU's was actually even more impressive because they smoked Miami. But Auburn's...
Are they overrated again, though? The Hurricanes?
They might be. And Auburn, though, here is a 9.5-point favorite.
I saw a stat doing my extensive research for this game.
Do your research.
That, I forget the stat already, but I think...
Do your research.
Yeah, the home team in this game, or the visitors in this, are like 2-11. So give me Auburn, even with the points.
Okay, yeah, here's the problem. LSU's offense, I'm not buying it. The defenses here are going to be good. Auburn, no, at home. Here's why I'm going to take LSU. I think they end up getting a defensive score in this game. Because okay. Their defense is really good, and I think that that's just enough to cover, but Auburn wins. Joe?
My first lock of the year was Miami over LSU, and that came back to bite me hard, but I'm still not sold on LSU. I don't see any playmakers on offense. The defense, like you said, is legit, but home field plus, you know, Auburn already had the warm-up game. They played against Washington. This isn't their first legit game. They're ready to roll. I think they cover the spread for sure.
Okay, so you're going with Auburn as well. And then the big one at night, 7 p.m. Saturday on ABC. Again, these are all central times that we give you. Number 4, Ohio State. Still without Urban Meyer. The last game of his 3-game suspension goes down to Texas. Now, this is technically a neutral site game. It's being played in Arlington. Number 15, TCU. I mean, it's in their backyard, so you'd think they'd have a little bit of a home field advantage, but it's not like they're in their home stadium here. So again, number 4, Ohio State versus number 15, TCU. Technically a neutral site game. And TCU, a 13.5-point, I guess, home dog. I still consider them kind of a home dog here in this spot. But Ohio State's favored by nearly 2 touchdowns in this game.
Buckeyes.
Think so?
Buckeyes.
I think this is one of those games. TCU's kind of like Wisconsin in that they're always good, but they get exposed.
Never good enough.
They just get exposed speed standpoint when they go up against the big boys. Ohio State had that loss early in the season to Oklahoma at home. I don't think they slip up in that type of game again this year. Just, you know, the big national spotlight against a Big 12 opponent. So
You don't have a Baker Mayfield out there to plant a flag in the middle of your field.
That's true. I'm taking the Buckeyes big.
I like Sean Robinson a lot. I think he's a huge upgrade over the turnover machine that was Kenny Hill. But this is the biggest game he's played in his career, and I don't know if they have the weapons to match Ohio State. The Buckeyes seem to be in revenge mode. I'm not really sure who they're trying to get revenge against. I'm not sure really what they're so upset about, but they're taking it out on their opponents, and I think they cover a 2-touchdown spread fairly easily on Saturday night.
And Haskins is good. He's really good for Ohio State. They have a legit pro quarterback there this year, not just one of these gimmicky JT Barrett guys. All right, and this sort of goes against my rule, which is you don't pick a home team at night in their biggest game of the year, but it's not in their home stadium. I think that the rule doesn't apply here that I usually go with, so I'm taking the Buckeyes. All right, we need to get out of here. We need to run the house hall. Matt Nagy's got a press conference we need to ask questions at. But hope you enjoyed the episode here. Our week 2 preview. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Our producer, Joe Romano, you can find him at Joey Joro. Send all complaints to him, please. WGNradio.com/Bears. I'll have a 10 Bears Things column up later today or early Friday morning.
Screenshots, too?
I don't know if I'm going to go that route. Probably not. We're anti-screenshot this week.
You know, I did that last year with some Mike Glennon film.
Yeah.
But I used, like, multiple screenshots.
Yeah, I mean, you got to show the whole play. ChicagoSunTimes.com is where you can read Johnsy's screenshots or see them.
It's like a name of a column.
Yeah.
Screenshots.
Screenshot. find the podcast at Hogan John's. Search Hogan John's, I should say, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, wherever you listen to your pods. We appreciate you listening. Please tell your friends right now. Just text your buddy. Say, hey, look, you're a Bears fan. Check out this podcast.
Better yet, text them a link.
Text them a link. We appreciate you doing that. All right, everybody, enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you Monday night after the Bears play the Seahawks at Soldier Field.
I'd like to see him get his hands on more balls.